The reading tonight's from 1 John 1, verse 1 to 4, which is page 865 in the Church Bibles. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete.
Let's pray again. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth, that it is your message to the world. And we pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will enable us to understand this passage and to apply it to our lives so that we may live as holy people. In Jesus' name, amen. How do you know Jesus was real? Well, the Bible is completely reliable. So when we read about Jesus, we get the truth. We can also look at non-Christian historians like Josephus, Tacitus, Suetonius, or the writings of Christian authors from the time. But how do you know that Jesus was a real person, that he really lived, and that he was God? Again, there are several answers. We could look at the way he fulfills Old Testament prophecy. We could look at his teaching. We could look at his miracles. We could look at the evidence for the resurrection. But tonight, we're looking at a central reason to believe that Jesus lived and that he is God. And the answer is that he left witnesses, people who knew him, who were prepared to die rather than deny their claim that they'd met God in Jesus. And these witnesses are called apostles. John, the son of Zebedee. I always think of Magic Roundabout when I read that. John, the son of Zebedee, the brother of James, the writer of this letter, was an apostle. And this means he was an eyewitness of the life and resurrection of Jesus, and that he's been chosen by God as a faithful witness to the truth. What John the Apostle says to us here is, number one, Jesus is God. Number two, Jesus is man. Number three, Jesus is the life. And number four, Jesus can be known. Firstly then, Jesus is God. Verse one. The Times reported the story of Lulu Renton, a six-year-old girl who wrote a letter to God and received a reply from the Archbishop of Canterbury. Though her parents do not believe in God, Lulu attends a Church of England school and developed a spiritual curiosity after the deaths of various relatives. Lulu's father, Alex Renton, wrestled with the decision of what to do with his daughter's letter, which read, "Dear God, how did you get invented?" Uncomfortable with answering this question from his own perspective of unbelief, Alex eventually sent the letter to church leaders of various denominations. Rowan Williams, the Archbishop of Canterbury, was the only one to write a reply. And he wrote a reply explaining that he was not God, but thought God might say something like this. God hadn't been invented, but God had been discovered. God might say this, according to Rowan Williams. Lots of people discovered me and were quite surprised. They discovered me when they looked round at the world and thought it was really beautiful or really mysterious and wondered where it came from. Then they invented ideas about me. Some of them sensible and some of them not very sensible. From time to time, I sent them hints, especially in the life of Jesus, to help them get closer to what I'm really like. But there was nothing and nobody around before me to invent me. Rather, like somebody who writes a story in a book, I started making up the story of the world and eventually invented human beings like you who could ask me awkward questions. Now, Rowan Williams is a very dear, very sincere religious leader. I used to know him quite well when he was my bishop in Monmouth Diocese. I applaud him for trying to help this little girl. However, what he said is unsatisfactory. Certainly, in the Bible, we're not just dealing with ideas that people have made up about God. We're dealing with God's revelation, God's disclosure of himself. God has shown us what he's like in the Bible and in Jesus. Jesus is more than a hint of what God is like. Jesus is what God is like. And that's what John would say to Lulu, the little girl. He would say, I'm an apostle. I was with Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Look at how he's described in verse 1. That which was from the beginning. Jesus existed before the dawn of time. John is saying the same thing that we heard in John chapter 1 this morning, the beginning of John's gospel. Jesus, or God the Son, existed before the creation of the world. He created the world. He is God. Secondly, Jesus is man. Still in verse 1, John continues, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. God the Son became Jesus the man, who spoke, and John heard him, who appeared, who walked the earth, and John saw him. Jesus had a real human body. John touched it. This is what makes John an apostle. He was a witness of God in Jesus. I wish I could feel it all for you. I wish I could be it all for you. If I could erase the pain, then maybe you'd feel the same. I'd do it all for you. I would. Those words come from, anybody know? It is something by Ellie Goulding, that's right. Guns and Horses by Ellie Goulding. She's a singer-songwriter. I must confess, I'd never actually heard of her. But I read that she was number one in the BBC Sound of 2010 list, which collates the industry's critics, broadcasters, and bloggers' top choices for rising stars of the coming year. She also won the Critics' Choice at the 2010 Brit Awards. Her debut studio album, Lights, went straight to the top of the UK charts, beating Lady Gaga's The Fame. I have heard of her. And Alicia Keys' The Element of Freedom. Guns and Horses is one of the songs featured on this album. Ellie's words express a high ideal. I wish I could feel it all for you. I wish I could be it all for you. If I could erase the pain, then maybe you'd feel the same. I'd do it all for you. I would. Well, it's a load of nonsense, isn't it? But actually, the great thing is that Jesus actually has done this for us. He is God. He's stepped into time. He's taken a human body. He does feel for us. He does erase the pain. Not in this life. I'm afraid he allows us to feel pain in this life. But when he returns and recreates all things, he will give us a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth in which there'll be no more pain. And he achieves this by becoming a human being, a man who could die on the cross for us. John was able to hear him, look at him, touch him. And this was essential, because unless Jesus was a man, he could not represent us on the cross. He could not take our place on the cross. He takes the punishment for sinful humanity as one of us on the cross. He pays the price of sin. Therefore, he rescues this world of sin and pain. He had to be God to save us. A mere human being could never save. He had to be a human being to represent us. So, Jesus is God. Jesus is a man. Thirdly, Jesus is the life. Now, the actor Martin Sheen is best known for his roles in The West Wing and the films Apocalypse Now and Badlands. He's the father of actor-director Emilio Estevez. They've recently partnered in the film The Way, the story of a man named Tom Avery Sheen, who decides to walk the Camino de, the Camino de Santiago pilgrimage when his son, who is Estevez, is killed there. On his journey, Tom learns the importance of community and comes to a better understanding of his son. Sheen has been open about the alcoholism and violence which characterized his life when his children were young. However, he's since changed his lifestyle and is now a practicing Catholic. The following quote comes from an interview with Sheen and Estevez that was conducted by the film magazine Empire, in which both men discuss their careers, their family, and their faith. In the quote, Sheen talks about the healing he experienced when he was finally able to be honest with himself about his problems. I was able to see very clearly the trouble that I was in. And I could no longer hide it. It was now a public fact. And my drinking had contributed to this madness. But I was able to heal that brokenness. I was able to unite the will of the Spirit to the work of the flesh and to become a balanced human being. And I'd fallen in love with myself and with compassion because I realized that I was loved and that I think is the beginning of a happy life. That you don't have to do anything but be aware of your humanity, your brokenness, your problems. All those things that make you human are the reason that you're loved. It's remarkable how frequently the rich and famous have a terrible life. They have everything this world can give, and then they turn to drink and drugs. It's a good thing that Michael Sheen is now a practicing Catholic and has recovered from alcoholism. I believe Catholics are in error, but I'm glad things have improved for Sheen. Now, the wonderful truth I can share with you tonight is that Jesus is the life. If you want life in all its fullness, come to Jesus. Look again at verse 1. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. There's some discussion amongst theologians about whether John means Jesus, the word of life, as in John's Gospel, chapter 1, where he describes Jesus as the word, or whether John means the word of the gospel. I don't think it really matters. The gospel is all about Jesus. The gospel is the word of life. Jesus is the word of life. Life is knowing Jesus. Knowing a relationship with God through Jesus. Knowing your sins forgiven. Knowing you've been saved from hell for heaven. Knowing God is your Father. And living for him as your life's greatest goal. People who are 100% committed to Jesus are happy. They still have problems, but fundamentally, they know they've found life. Very often, if we're not happy, it's because we've not fully surrendered some part of our life to Jesus. Jesus is the King of Kings. He must be King of our lives. Verse 2, the life appeared. This is Jesus. See, we don't just go to a dusty textbook to find out what life is. We don't have to experiment to find out what life is. The life appeared. We look at Jesus. John has seen life in Jesus, verse 2. He testifies to this life. He's willing to stand and be counted and say, Jesus is God. He is the life. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. John proclaims to us. He preaches to us. Look at Jesus. He is eternal life. This is fantastic. Has it never struck you how short life is? Very few of the pop stars from the 1980s are famous now. People have forgotten them. Same is true of sports stars. Not everyone makes it to old age. Life is short. But in Jesus is eternal life. Knowing God, knowing sins forgiven, means we can go to heaven and live forever. Not playing a harp on a cloud, but living a fulfilling life in the new creation. The Bible promises a real material world, which Jesus will create when he returns to earth. This is my hope of eternal life. Do you have this hope? John says in verse 2, Jesus is God. Only God can be eternal life. He was with the Father. He was in eternal relationship with his Father. And he appeared to us. He made God the Father known. And that brings us to our fourth point, which is that Jesus can be known. Verses 3 and 4. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. There's a special quality of relationship amongst Christians. We're not just friends. We're in fellowship with one another. This means partnership. We're partners in the gospel. We're fellow workers in the gospel. We share in Jesus together. We've all been saved by the same Savior. We express this when we take communion. Communion is the same word in the Greek as fellowship. So John is saying that his readers can have fellowship with him. But there's more to it. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is frankly mind-blowing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have been in perfect relationship, perfect fellowship, perfect friendship, forever and ever. And they've never quarreled. John is saying that he's been brought into the fellowship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And amazingly, we're invited to the party too. We're invited to have fellowship with John, with all of the saints who've gone before, with all of God's people, past, present, and future, and with God the Father and God the Son. Rent a Friend, a company that hires out platonic companions, has proved so popular in the United States and Canada that it's been launched in Britain. The idea is that people search for a friend for free by postcode, photos, and profiles. Then they pay a registration fee to become a member of Rent a Friend, and then they negotiate an hourly rate with their chosen friend. The site, which opened for business in the UK in July 2010, insists that it's not a dating website and not an escort agency. Services on rentafriend.com are strictly for friendship purposes only. I guess you've got to be pretty lonely before you rent a friend. What's being offered here in 1 John 1 is friendship with Jesus, which opens the door to friendship with all his people. That's why John ends by saying, verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. There is unspeakable joy in knowing Jesus, knowing the Father, knowing the work of the Holy Spirit, and knowing God's people. I've been so impressed by Christchurch. I've been here 3¾ years. We're not perfect, but I've seen wonderful examples of friendship, fellowship, relationship. I've seen the lonely, loved, and cared for. I've seen people come to maturity and wholeness in Christ. Thank you for all that you do to make fellowship strong at Christchurch. Jesus is God. Jesus is man. Jesus is the life. Jesus can be known. Do you know him? Do you know this fellowship? It's only found in the real Jesus. It's only found in the Jesus who is proclaimed to us by John and the other apostles. Sometimes people talk about the Jesus of history and the Christ of faith, as if they are two different people. There is only one Jesus, the one who walks off the pages of Scripture. Do you know him?